You are listening to Kilometer Zero by The Cycling Podcast, powered by Zwift, the fitness app where fun is fast.
For this latest episode of Kilometer Zero from the Grandest Tour, we're going to hear again from our Giro diarist and also from our Vuelta diarist. It'll be the last instalment from our Giro team, and so we say a huge thank you to Cesare Benedetti, Joe Dombrowski, Jacopo Guarnieri, Nathan Haas, James Knox and Rick Zabel. Each has taken us inside the race, or inside the pasta in the case of Nathan Haas, and we're very grateful for their diligence and commitment, particularly given the early starts and late finishes. And listen out for Benedetti's comments about Friday's riders' protest. Very interesting. We'll also meet our Vuelta diarists, Scott Davis, Nick Dlamini and Nick Schultz. And throughout the Vuelta, we'll also hear from Mitch Docker and George Bennett. Thanks to Zwift for their support of our Kilometer Zero series at the Grandest Tour.
Hi everybody listening to the Cycling Podcast. It's Nathan Haas again from Team Cofidis. On the bus on our way to stage 18 to tackle the famous Stelvio, the Gavia di Stelvio, the Passo di Stelvio, not the Gavia. I have stage 18 brain. Last night after massage, I actually went to the wrong room, totally forgot which room I was sleeping in. So there is a certain disconnect that happens after this much suffering, this much fatigue, and this many days just pedaling your bike for senseless hours. Yesterday was just under 7 hours for us. Huge win by Ben O'Connor and really, really cool news for NTT Cycling. We're all hoping they can find an 11th hour sponsor to keep that very cool team alive and all their cool work they do with Quebeca going. So that was pretty cool for cycling, but we did 5,300 meters climbing and I burned my way through 6,500 kilojoules. So to say it was a heavy day on the legs is an understatement. And then today we have even more. We have 5,800 meters climbing and yeah, we're tackling the Stelvio, which for any lover of cycling knows this is one of the coolest things you ever get to do. It's amazing to do just in training or on a cyclo-tourist trip, but to actually do it in the real race, doesn't matter which group you're in, the front, the middle, the gruppetto, there's just something special about today. And I'm still a hopeless romantic when it comes to the history of cycling. It's pretty cool. There was a lot of talk about, you know, whether we got to do this stage or not. You know, there's, looking out the window now, there's snow everywhere. And it's going to be so chilly once we hit 2,750 meters of elevation at the top of the mountain. But the truth is, we did this in 2014, and we actually did it in the snow. It was currently snowing, not snow around. We were actually in the thick of it, and that still goes down easily as the worst day on a bike for me ever in my life. It was just the coldest I've ever been. It was probably the scaredest I've ever been and most confused as to what we were doing. But this year, we are looking outside, and it is a beautiful day. There's nothing but sun. There's very little wind, and you know, we've got good clothes and, you know, you can rug up in the dry, no problem. You know, you can cut out that wind chill and you can get past that sort of first 500 meters of elevation, coming down, and then it actually starts to warm up properly again. So it's only going to be about 10, 15 minutes of that real bone chilling cold, no matter what you're wearing. And then we come down, thrilling descent all the way to Bormio, and then we go up to Lago de Cancano, which is again another pretty special climb. We did a training camp here earlier in the year and we did Cancano a few times, and it's nice. There's lots of switchbacks, it's not too steep. I don't know if it's going to be the perfect climb to really see a showdown, because there's no really hard parts on Cancano. It's sort of like, you know, a hard switchback and then flat to the next switchback, hard switchback, flat to the next. So it's When we see how unexplosive riders seem to be in the last few stages going for GC, that they all seem to just be holding on to each other. I think it might be a slightly underwhelming final, but we'll see. But anyway, the pasta that I wanted to talk about is The one that I've been most excited about to get to, this whole pasta journey that we've all been through. We've been from Sicily, looking at weird anchovies and sardines in a tomato sauce paste, and then, you know, working our way through Bologna, through the Bolognese, and finally, we are up in the high mountains, and we get to take on a pasta that I only tried for the first time in my life a few months ago, called pizzoccheri. I actually thought I was ordering a pizza on the menu, and then this strange-looking brown pasta came out, and I was a bit like, oh, maybe I misread that. I am dyslexic, after all, but it's called pizzoccheri, or as I like to try to use as a verbal cue to remember it, pizzarocchi. It's a whole wheat or a buckwheat pasta, and it's sort of more like a noodle shape. It can be wide, it's a little bit misshapen, it's rogue. It's definitely not someone that follows the rules or structures of how things need to be. There's no uniformity there. It's a little bit messy. And then it's cooked with olive oil and then potatoes and some prosciutto or bacon. That kind of a thing. It's a high mountain food. It's exactly what you would expect when you get off the ski slopes or after a cold day. You need some energy, but you want that warmth. And it's got that thermal density inside that once it's warm or it stays hot, it's insulating food. That's what we'll call it. It's an insulation pasta. So anyway, if anyone is listening to this and is up in the high mountains at the moment, currently watching the Giro, make sure you don't misread it thinking it's a pizza. It's a pasta. It's called pizzoccheri, and it is molto bene.
Hi everyone, it's James Knox here.
End of the Giro in 14th. To be honest, it's something I'm actually still very proud of. I haven't really been thinking about it too much. You know, the priority's been Joao, and I'm 36 minutes down, so it's miles back. But it's still been a good ride. I feel like I rode into the position as a teammate quite well. Not something I've had to do before. Taking care of Joao, thinking about him, not thinking about myself. Obviously, you know, the Stelvio day was a bit of a disappointment, mainly because I couldn't stay and help Joao. You know, the day he lost the pink jersey, and I went completely backwards. But when I look at myself there on the result sheet, jumped up another place today, still 14th in the Giro. It's not to be sniffed at. Finish it off tomorrow. I've got a person here with me who's, I've been in the room with Alvaro for the whole 3 weeks, been in it together. He's been hoping to make it to Milan. And Alvaro, what do you got to say?
I don't know how to say it really. It's feel amazing to be here now in the bus in the way to Milano, because it was my first goal of this Giro. For sure, we came with every day with the expectative of winning one stage. For me, was the goal first finish the Giro and then one stage. But after with the ride you did for Joao with the pink jersey, I think the whole team was behind him, and every day we fight for it. And yes, for sure the climb days I was never there with the guys, but I'm super proud to be here, and it feels like a family. Also James was my roommate for the last 25 days, more or less.
Yeah, something like this.
And this was my full motivation really, because it's my first Grand Tour, and yeah, 20 days, you cannot imagine how long it feels. So every day, after 10 days, the countdown, then the Stelvio, the hardest day, and he was there to support me. So it's really nice to stay, to be here still, and to finish tomorrow in Milano with him.
Yeah, nice to get Alvaro's opinion, and from my perspective, being in his room every day, seeing how much he suffered. You know, I think there's 20 kilos between us, so you can only imagine how much harder Alvaro has to push every single day. The road goes uphill. And, you know, I've suffered a lot myself. You know, I had to go really deep to get to the end of the Giro. But for the big guys, just surviving, getting dropped from 2-3 kilometers on the Stelvio day and surviving all day behind the race, making it in the time cut, you know, it's not easy. And I think surviving this will be, it's an achievement for everyone, but it's a big achievement for the sprinters and guys like Alvaro. So we're all very happy to be in Milan tomorrow. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you.
Jacopo Guarnieri.
Hello everyone. So we are here just on the side of the podium of the final stage of the Giro d'Italia, as you can see from the noise underneath my voice. And well, we just won as a team the fair play. So basically we didn't get any fine during the World Giro. Well, exactly, it was not something we were looking for, but it's super nice to be all in here, you know, with the Mara celebrating on the podium on the Giro, even though it's a prize we, yeah, as I said, not a very special one, but we for sure get the most out of it because it's great what we achieved during this edition of the Giro. It was something amazing. Four victories with our leader was just something beyond our expectation. We approached the Giros saying like, we want to win as much as we can. God, we won everything we can actually. So that was great. It was a super hard Giro for the parkour, you know, just three completely flat stages. Not completely actually. And we got four victories, so amazing. Arno set himself as one of the best sprinters in the world, and our lead out, one of the best in the world. So we are super proud of it. We simply did what we were doing in the small races. Like, we had the same approach, you know, like we started with Burgos, then we had the Milan Turan, then we had Valloni, we had Tour de Poitou-Charentes here. You can say they're giving the jersey to Tayo, so yeah, congratulations to him while I'm here. Maybe he's gonna hear that. So but yeah, basically we did the same thing in every race, and that's amazing because the Giro is not Tour de Poitou-Charentes. So we're really, really proud of it, and probably now, once we will be home, we start to realize what we did, and as a sprinter team, and yeah, we're gonna enjoy that. Now it's time to recovery. Italy is heading, unfortunately, to another kind of lockdown. So they said from tomorrow all the restaurants gonna shut down at 18 o'clock, and man, I want a restaurant that probably will be a lot of lunches, and kidding. I just hope this world situation will get better, hopefully with a vaccine for everyone, especially for the fragile people out there. And I hope, really, really hope that we could start 2021 on a more relaxed path, and that everyone will be safe and everyone will be healthy. So it was a pleasure to share with you guys all my experience, all my feelings during the Giro. I hope you like it. And well, next year, the next chances, we're gonna do something more. So thank you all, and have fun during the off season. Ciao.
Joe Dombrowski.
So it's been, I think, for everyone, a Giro full of surprises this year. You know, number one and two on GC came into the race, I think, with the mindset of being a domestique for their leaders. And in the end, they were battling it out for the overall. And it's been, 2020 has been a year full of surprises on and off the bike. And that carried through, you know, what we saw in this Giro. For our team, I think it was a decent race. We were happy to win a couple stages with Diego. Of course, we were disappointed to lose Fernando, you know, due to COVID, and we also lost Richese and Milano along the way. So we had, you know, a bit smaller group than obviously we hoped for in Milan, but in the end, I think it was a decent race for us. And personally, it wasn't certainly not my best Giro. A little bit anonymous, I would say, but I didn't have the best luck with the second week, having a bit of a stomach virus, and at one point we were thinking that I probably wasn't going to finish the race. So on one hand, you know, it was nice to get through it, but I wouldn't say that I really walked away with much to show from the race. I can't say I'm really disappointed. It's been a strange year, and you know, maybe I didn't have the best luck, and it was a short race season. And yeah, now looking forward to the off season. I don't know exactly what the plans are going to be. It's at the moment I'm staying in Milan actually with my wife, and we're going to spend a few days here just kind of playing tourist and then go back home to Nice. And I'll have a few weeks totally off the bike and just switch off a bit, get into doing other things. And I don't know exactly what I'll do. I mean, there's kind of increasing restrictions on what we even can do at the moment, given the situation in Europe. In Nice, they actually instituted recently a 9 p.m. curfew. So I think we'll just see the situation, but looking forward to having some time off the bike and having a bit of a reset and then getting ready for 2021, which is, you know, it's been a pretty late finish to the season this year. So next season is really just around the corner, and it'll be here, I think, sooner than we can imagine.
Hello, everybody. It's Rick again. Yeah, I'm at the airport now, flying home. 3 weeks, Giro is done. I'm happy it's over, and I'm also happy for Teo to win the Giro. Really looks like this new generation is taking over cycling. Pretty crazy. And yeah, I mean, what was my best moments? Of course, it started already very good when I could wear the mountains jersey, and also when I finished fifth in the one sprint. I think, yeah, I got one chance from my team this Giro to sprint once, and I finished fifth. And I had a solid season. I'm happy to finish the Giro. I finished every race this year, which is also a pretty solid result, I think. And I had a good season. I was on a good level, and I'm happy to finish the Giro now. I actually didn't really had I didn't have a worst moment. We didn't have a. It was a very good Giro for our team. We didn't have a big disappointment, and also every stage I could finish quite well. I was never in big problems. Of course, I'm very tired now, but all in all, it was a very good race. And now I'm happy to go home and start the off season. And also waiting for the birth of my son. So I think this will be the biggest highlight, not only of this year, maybe even of my life. Looking forward to that.
Cesare Benedetti.
Another Giro d'Italia is over. I'm very happy about that, especially because if you told me that in the spring, if you told me that we would have raced Gran Turismo here, then I wouldn't believe it. And yeah, we've shown the strength of cycling this year, and I'm really thankful to all the parties that made it possible. I'm almost on my way home now. Everyone's going home today. There won't be any celebrations this year. Usually we stay one night longer. We usually have dinner together to celebrate the end of a Grand Tour, but this year is not the case, and the situation is getting worse in Italy and all over Europe, I think. So no big dinner tonight. We're just happy to reach our families. I'm looking forward to see my daughter and my wife tonight. My daughter usually goes to bed at 7:30, 8 p.m. But I think she will stay awake a bit longer today. I think the best moment of this Giro was for sure Peter's victory. It came after a very tough day and after a very tough first week where we tried hard to win a stage with him and we didn't make it. But then he won a stage in his home style, making a show out of it. So it was pretty awesome. And then I've got another good moment, which was when we went through my region, and I saw my daughter I saw my daughter on the side of the road. It was so very nice and emotional. I think she's now 4 years old, and it was like probably the first time she actually knew what was going on. She knows what's a race now, because she's been visiting the Giro in the last year as well, but she wasn't really conscious about what was going on. And the worst moment, I think it was when on Friday this whole chaos happened at the start of stage number 19. I felt a bit ashamed about what happened, and yeah, I hope something like that won't happen anymore for cycling. And another bad moment was during the previous day on the stage when we climbed the Stelvio. I went in trouble already at the beginning of the stage, couldn't keep the pace of the best ones. It was a bit disappointing because the stage started in my region, because the previous day I actually felt pretty good. I had good legs, I could support the GC riders, our GC riders, until the last climb. So I was expecting to have the same legs or better ones also in the following day, but that didn't happen. I still enjoyed the Stelvio climb. It was the first time I did in the race from that side. I climbed it in training many times, but now I've got all three sides also in racing. It's been a short racing season, but it's been a long year on the bike. I started my racing season in January in Australia, and for that I started to prepare on the bike already in November, when usually I do some other training, some other activities. I like to hike more than cycling in November, but this year was a bit different because I had to be in good shape already at the beginning of January. So that, I'm looking forward to... I'm not fed up of training. I'm looking forward to train, but in other ways. I'm looking forward to training of a bit of mountain bike and hiking, a bit of skiing. Hopefully we will have snow, and hopefully we will be able to train outside. During the lockdown, I was in Poland at my wife's place. So for March, April, May, I was always able to train outside. But I always trained on the bike, and it's been pretty hard to stay motivated without knowing when the racing season would start. So I think now I need some rest, especially for my mind, because physically I don't feel tired yet. But and then we will see what's going to happen with the coronavirus situation. We will see when we will be able to start the season again. But now first, some easy days. I will be in Poland. I need to eat something fat and something sugary just for a week or two, and then try to keep focus again. The most I need to stay with my family, with my daughter.
You are listening to Kilometer Zero by the Cycling Podcast, powered by Zwift, the fitness app that turns indoor riding into a game. Explore endless roads, race riders from all over the world, and boost your fitness with monthly training plans and structured workouts. Join the world's training playground, where fun is fast. Go to Zwift.com and start your free trial.
I'm Ryan Gibbons, the South African champion riding for NTT Pro Cycling. Before the whole lockdown, I think I've probably done maybe 2 hours on Zwift. I just think it comes down to, just that pure power. And I think it's in a way, it's a blessing and a curse. I think I've always been naturally quite strong, but just kind of struggled tactically or kind of, you know, in a team, not having a super strong team or things like that. But when it comes down to Zwift, it's just you and power. You don't have to kind of worry about your technical skills or maneuverability or team support. And I think it paid off. And it just proves that, you know, I do have the ability. It just kind of, if I can learn gain a bit more experience and kind of learn the tricks of the trade, it hopefully will translate to results on the road. You know, Zwift did a fantastic job. Not just the racing, but, you know, kind of group workouts and just even playing, just doing general rides. It was available and, you know, it was definitely more motivating and interesting to go and train indoors. It made it easier. It gave you something to look forward to. So it's a very, you know, hats off to them. And I'm also, you know, so pleased that they did create these events like the Tour for All and the virtual Tour de France to give, you know, teams opportunities to still race virtually. And, you know, us as NTT, we worked really, really well and we stayed connected and we achieved success.
Well, that's the Giro done and dusted for another year or another 6 months. Let's cross to Spain.
G'day, I'm Mitch Stocker and I ride for EF Pro Cycling and I'm going to be doing some feedback or diary for the Vuelta España 2020. So we've done the first stage, we're here, and it was a tough first stage, actually. It really felt like stage four, where it should have really been. As you know, this Vuelta is going to be three stages short. We're supposed to start in Holland, and yesterday's stage was supposed to be the fourth stage. So it was the first stage now, and it did feel like the fourth stage. Got in the hotel last night and I was pretty tired already. I was thinking, God, I've only done one stage. And I think that's got to do with the weather. It was much colder, it was wet, and the racing was just pretty tough. Tough day, fast, you know, uphill finish. So the race is well and truly underway. I guess one of the most weirdest things I've noticed so far with this race is the light. The race is starting quite late. You know, we started yesterday at 1 o'clock. Today we're going to start at 2 o'clock. And so when we finish, we're driving in the dark. It's very weird. You get into the hotel, it's completely dark. It's very Vuelta-esque. You know, you're doing massage at 8 o'clock. You still got to have dinner. Last night I didn't finish dinner till 10:30, but it's pitch black outside. So that is quite weird. And I think that's playing on also that level of tiredness, you know, as naturally the body's starting to wind down this time of year, and with the light getting darker, that is also adding to it. So in saying all that, we're only one day deep. There's still a lot of days to come. So that's my first thoughts of this year's Vuelta. G'day guys, I haven't checked in for a few days, but that's because it's been pretty hard. I'm not going to complain. It looks like the boys across here at the Giro have got certainly a hard thing going on there. Third week, epic stages and some bad weather rolling in. But we've had a hard kickstart here at the Vuelta. And it really does feel, like I said in the first one, that we're about 5, 6, 7 days deep. You know, it doesn't feel like we've only just had 4 stages. It feels like the rest day is going to be in its normal place after 9 stages, you know, and not after 6. But we had a bit of good news. I guess you could call it good news for riders, depending which rider you are, that the Tour of Malay stage got changed. And for me, it was not necessarily the Tour of Malay. It was the uphill start of that day, which was looking frightening for me. Today in the race was a sort of a nice day. It potentially could have been a really tough day, like that stage in the Vuelta last year that was crosswind all day. The wind just died down, which is uncharacteristic for this area. And we just had a fast tailwind stage. Certainly stressful, but it never really split. A nice sprint. And I think everyone just enjoyed it. Coming up for a big weekend and a hard first 3 days, it was just a nice little breather.
Hi, my name is Nick Lamini and I ride for Team NTT Pro Cycling. Yeah, the first few days has been pretty hard, especially the first 2 days. Everyone was, especially the GC guys, you know, They were just controlling and making the race really hard. Yeah, I think it actually helps now that the GC is a little sorted or settled. So at least the breakaways can now stay away and also have their days. But yeah, we see day by day how everything goes or folds. And also, I mean, with impressions of the COVID-19 safeguard, yeah, so far so good. Our team doctors are following all the precautions and everything. So not at one point actually have we really felt that we actually felt unsafe, because we're really following the orders. And there's not a lot of spectators out when we're racing, so that's also really nice. Yeah, maybe it's a bit early to tell, but yeah, from what I could see in the last few days, it's been pretty okay. Going forward, I think obviously we'll have to see how everything folds. Yeah, and see how everything develops. But for now, yeah, everything is under control. Yeah, hopefully it can actually stay like this, and we can get to Madrid safe and sound.
I'm Nick Schultz, and I ride for Mitchelton Scott.
Stage one, pretty hard stage to start things off for a grand tour. Quite a lot of mountains, changeable weather, but it wasn't too bad. Pretty relentless pace setting by Jumbo-Visma all day today, which paid off for them, as we've seen much of the trend this season. They were very dominant, and it made for quite a hard day. Certainly setting the tone for what's to come, I'm sure. On a personal note, blew a few cobwebs out and just finding the rhythm. Looking forward to the days to come. Stage two, another tough stage. So it's been a very difficult start to this Vuelta. Two mountain stages after 2 days, and another one on the cards tomorrow. On top of the mountains today, we had the wind to contend with as well, which created a lot of stress in the peloton and caused a few splits there before the final climb. Bit of a different feeling being here this year with everything that's going on, and obviously a lot of different protocols to run through around the health of the riders, the staff, and all the organisation, mask wearing for etc. Facial recognition at the sign-on, which is a new one, so we're not actually physically picking up a pen and signing a piece of paper. Then in the media zone, if you're getting asked questions from the media, you're standing behind barriers, and the different media outlets will have a microphone attached to a pole, and they point it in your direction. Proves particularly difficult to actually hear what's being asked. But these are the things that everyone, I guess, is actually willing to do for us to get through the race, and to actually have the privilege to get to do what we love through these times when a lot of things are coming to a halt. And I think full credit to the Vuelta organisation, because so far it has been exceptional, all their protocols around the race, and also the fans as well. They've been brilliant, always wearing masks and actually just very limited fans. So that's what we want. We want to see people actually staying at home and watching it from the TV. As funny as that sounds, it's just what we all need at the moment. But yeah, like I said, another tough day on the cards tomorrow. And Esteban's going very well, so we'll look to keep protecting him and then go after opportunities when they present themselves. Stage four, very stressful day with a lot of wind about. It always makes for stressful times in the bunch. I'll give you a little bit of an insight into kind of how it goes on a day like today. So everybody has really good weather forecasts, and we all pretty much know the same points in the race that will be dangerous and exposed to potential crosswinds. Then during the stage, we have our directors reminding us on the radios of those points, and that creates a lot of tension within the bunch. So, for example, you might have been going along a straight road for 30k with a tailwind, and in 2 kilometres you're going to turn right and you're going to have wind coming from the right side of you, and that's going to cause havoc in the bunch. So generally a director will give a countdown to that point, and that just makes everybody super stressed, and there's a massive fight for that corner to be in the best position possible. So yeah, it was a very fast day. They're like a roller coaster these days, like this with the wind. Sometimes you're in really good position when something's going down and you feel comfortable and sort of not in danger of losing any time or position in the bunch, and then other times you take a turn that you didn't quite expect there'd be wind, and you're a little bit out of position, you have to really fight, you're a bit worried that the bunch is going to split and you know that you're going to end up being in a gruppetto way down. So it's a very stressful day where the body and mind takes a bit of a beating, more so than the numbers suggest, as physically it wasn't super hard. But yeah, that's a day that we're all happy to have ticked off and to have gotten through unscathed, as we head back into the mountains for the next 2 days before the first rest day.
Hi, my name is Scott Davis. I'm 25 years old and I'm a rider with Team Bahrain McLaren. It's my first Welter and my second Grand Tour. So it's a bit of a strange feeling lining up for a Grand Tour now in October, but really happy to be here and excited to see what the Welter is about. It's obviously been a bit of a strange year for us this year with the pandemic. I think quite a difficult year for a fair few of us. I'm actually sharing the room with Stevie Williams, who's just making his comeback from a long-term knee injury. So it's the first time we've shared a room together for about 7 years. So I think the last time we were in the room together was at the Junior Tour Wales in 2013. So it was really nice to be reunited. And yeah, so far so good. It's nice to be back with good company. So we just finished stage two of the Vuelta. Stage one was pretty stressful as expected, but we managed to look after Wout Poels, which is our main goal for the first part of the race, just to try and give him a good shot at the GC and see where we are after week one. Stage two was also pretty stressful. Crosswind was sort of the main concern with the weather forecast and everything. Yeah, no, the race went okay. Well, unfortunately, Wout lost a bit more time, but it's still early days. And unfortunately, we lost Matej Morovic to a crash. So he's actually broken his scapula. So really unfortunate for him. Don't think he'll be starting tomorrow, which is a shame. We've lost a really good rider there. We'll battle on and try our best for the remainder of this first week. Yeah, it's nice to be here, obviously, with Stevie and Fred, the other two Brits in the Vuelta squad. And this will be their first Grand Tour. So yeah, I'm hoping I can share the limited experience that I've got from starting the Giro last year and passing on any advice that I can in terms of getting through their first Grand Tour. But other than that, all good. And yeah, looking forward to the rest of the week. Hi guys, it's Scott Davis checking in after stage five of the Vuelta. Again, a pretty stressful few days. Stage three and four, there's a lot of concern about the wind and potential crosswinds. So it meant the bunch was quite stressful. But in the end, it turned out to be nothing really. So all the wind that was forecast wasn't actually as strong as we thought it would be. And the splits didn't quite happen, but good to be prepared nonetheless. And then, yeah, today, stage five, was a really tough day, actually. It took a long time for the breakaway to finally go. A group of about 15 guys clipped off the front from the start, and it was a bit of cat and mouse for the first hour and a half, 2 hours. So, yeah, we had quite a high average today. Unfortunately, we've lost two of our guys so far, so Matej Mohorovic, and then today, unfortunately, we lost Gregor Boller, stomach problems. So yeah, we'll miss those guys. It's a bit of a shame, but nonetheless, we'll fight on and continue supporting Wout and keep our eye out for any potential stage opportunities.